I hope we'll remember those that were here last Sunday's message and some of the things we talked about, how our Lord, He remembers to forgive and He remembers to forget. It was an important message. I preached an important message last week and talked about how God remembers to forgive and God remembers to forget. We also need to show that to others, don't we? Remember to show forgiveness and remember to show forgetfulness. That when we forgive people, we also forget. We don't just hold things and keep account of things and keep score with things, but we practice a truly godly forgiveness in how we deal with others. This morning, I want to preach to you about simply remembering God. Remembering God. And we're going to look here at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to read a fairly lengthy passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 in the Old Testament. If you found it, can you stand together with me? And we'll read this passage here. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And we're going to read, I think, the entire chapter, all 20 verses, if you'll follow along with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware," or that word swear means promised. It's like swearing an oath. He promised, and so on unto your fathers. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee." In other words, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore shalt thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping the commandments and his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible, oftentimes in the Old Testament was in an older meaning of the word, it really meant awesome. Like a word that we'd use nowadays, awesome. The great, and sometimes calls him the terrible God. It's not calling God terrible, it's calling God awesome. Awesome, essentially, is a good meaning for that. It says, "Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And that thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." At least a couple times in this chapter, it tells us to remember God. Remember God and remember his commandments. And at least a couple times it tells us to forget not. We're to remember God. We're to not forget God. And here, if you understand through the chapter, Moses reminds him of so many things. God reminds him of so many things. Remember what God has done for you.
Remember how what God did in bringing you out of Egypt. Remember what God did for you through the wilderness. And don't let yourself get to the place where you become puffed up or proud, lest you think that what you have is of your own and you forget God and you neglect God. Let's not forget Him. Let's not neglect Him. Let's be sure to remember Him. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning as we just study Your Word. I ask You please to use it in a mighty way in our hearts to speak to us and challenge us. Help us not to forget You, but to remember You. Remember You. Remember You. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Think back on God's goodness. It does us good to remember Him in our life. And Moses here wants the nation, God wants the nation to remember the things that God has done for them. But for you and me, in the same way, God wants us to remember Him. Not to forget Him. Think back in His life. We just sang a song, My Redeemer is Faithful and True. When I look back on this road I've traveled, hey, think about, remember God's goodness and God's faithfulness in your life. Think back about His mercy in your life. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The psalmist knew that goodness and mercy, it has followed me all the days of my life, and it's going to continue to follow me all the rest of the days of my life. Listen, it does us good to remember and think about the faithfulness and the goodness and the mercy of our God. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, it says, And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Can you take time to remember all the ways in which the Lord has led you and guided you and brought you to where you are today? Can you remember the times that He's provided for you? Can you remember His graciousness in providing you with what you really needed? He provided you with mercy and patience and long-suffering and grace when we didn't deserve it. It's by His grace He redeems us. It's by His mercy that He saves us. He offers us forgiveness in spite of the things that we've done. Can we take time to remember that? Can you remember His faithfulness to keep His word? God always honors His word. Those of you that are saved, you know what it means to be saved. You know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. You have no doubts about that. Can you remember how God saved you? Can you think about it? Do you ever stop and take time and remember how God saved you? How was it that God brought the gospel to you? Maybe you were somebody that grew up in a Christian home. Maybe you heard the gospel many times, but maybe you weren't. Maybe you didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian home. And maybe there was somebody. Maybe there was a pastor or a Christian or a friend or a co-worker or a Sunday school teacher. Maybe there was a neighbor. Maybe there was somebody that brought the gospel to you. Maybe you began to hear the gospel on the radio. Maybe there was, how did it happen? Who was it that began to influence you or share the gospel with you or to witness to you? So that you could be here today. That to know that you're saved today or have a desire to live for Christ today. Where did that all start? Hey, remember what God did to help save you. To help you to hear the gospel. Remember the times maybe that God allowed you to hear the gospel again and again. Even after you rejected it. Remember the times that God allowed you to sit once again under a preacher or be able to hear again from a witness, hear again from a friend, the gospel of Christ, and somebody tell you that wonderful story again, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, that God wants to save you. Some of you heard that story many times and you didn't believe it the first time. You rejected it the second time. You didn't believe it the fifth time. Maybe it took 10, 20 times for you to hear the gospel before you got saved. Thank God for that. Remember how you heard the gospel. Remember how you got saved. Remember the prayers that God has answered in your life. Remember the good things God has done for you. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 9 and 10, it says this. Remember the former things of old. Remember the past things. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none else. Like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Even in Isaiah, again, God's people reminded, remember the former things. Remember the things of the past. Remember the good things that the Lord God has done for you. Remember the times that I proved that there's no other God. There's none else. There's none like me. Jehovah God, your God, the God of Israel. Remember all the times that I showed my miracles and I showed my power to you as a nation and blessed you. Remember that. Remember the former things. Hey, it does us good to remember the things of the past. Remember what God has done for us. God wants us to be people who remember. Who remember. Don't forget. Don't forget. You know, every time we take the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, we're to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. We're to remember what Jesus did for us there at a hillside called Golgotha. We're to remember that. Jesus, we're taught in Corinthians, this do in remembrance of me. Jesus said when he ate the Passover meal with the disciples, this do in remembrance of me. And we're to, every time we take the Lord's table, we're to remember Jesus Christ, remember the sacrifice, remember His blood that was shed for us and the suffering that He endured to purchase our salvation. God wants us to remember. As the Lord spoke to the children of Israel, before they ever approached the promised land, He warned them here. Beware lest thou forget. Beware. Make sure you don't forget. Obviously, God knew that they needed to be warned because sometimes we're so prone to forget. Sometimes we're prone to just kind of take things for granted. Sometimes we're prone to just go on and we don't think about things and we don't appreciate things like we should. And He says, make sure you remember how the Lord your God led you. Make sure you don't forget all the things that God did for you. Remember how I took care of you in the wilderness. Remember how I brought you out of Egypt. Remember how I fed you. Remember the manna I gave you. Remember how I gave you water out of the rock. Remember how I took care of you, that your shoes didn't wear out in all those years in the wilderness and your clothing didn't wear out in all those years of wilderness. You never needed a new pair. You never needed a new set of clothes. I made it to last all that time. Stay nice. Remember. He warned them not to forget God's goodness to them. God had given through Moses a list of His blessings here in the first half of chapter number 8. And He wanted them to remember that whatever glory and whatever blessings they would have, it was all because of the goodness of God. All the blessings that they'd had, all the blessings that they would have in the promised land, remember that it was all going to have come from God. It was all going to be a blessing from God because of His goodness. In Psalms chapter 9 and verse 17, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. God was trying to warn His nation, His people, Israel, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Make sure you remember me. And listen, oh, we as a nation, don't we need to remember God? Our nation's come so far. Our nation doesn't remember God like it should, doesn't honor God like it should. And may God help us to be Christians. May God help us to be people that don't forget the goodness of God, that don't neglect to be thankful for all the good things that we have. Every time the nation of Israel began to forget God and began to complain about God, every time they began to turn their heart away from God and to go after other nations or go after false gods, they got themselves in big trouble. They got themselves in big trouble. Let's not neglect Him. God help us to be Christians who don't forget our God. Let me share with you some things that God wants us to remember. Look with me again at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And notice here verses 7 to 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and notice there verses 7 to 10. The first thing I want to share with you is this morning. Remember the provisions of a provision of the Lord. Number one, remember the provision of the Lord. The provision of the Lord. In verse number 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. There'll be no famine, there'll be no starvation, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Do you thank God today for what you have? Are you thankful that you don't, that you personally are privileged to live in a very blessed place? A place where you've got lots of food to eat? A place where you likely have something that you can eat later today? And you likely can have something to eat this week or tomorrow and so on, and maybe even eat more than once? Maybe you can eat twice or three times or more if you want. You're very blessed. You're not living today in a third world country where people are dying of starvation or people die at a young age because of different diseases. You're not living in Venezuela today where there's great difficulty and great problems and people dying and starving and people that don't have medicine and just a communist corrupt government and just a lot of trouble in Venezuela. Do you thank God for what you have today? Do you thank God for the clothes you have and the food that you have and the air that you have to breathe? Thank God for the water you have to drink. Hey, remember the provisions of the Lord. Just like God took care of His people in the wilderness, hasn't He taken good care of you? Have you lacked? You live in a land of plenty. At the end of verse 10 there, it tells us we should bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? We should thank the Lord. We should praise the Lord for His faithfulness and provision in our life. Do you ever thank God for your health? You say, well, I'm a little sick. Well, do you ever thank God for whatever measure of health you do have? You could be laid up in a hospital bed this morning. You could be shut in at home. You could be an invalid in a nursing home. You could be in big trouble this morning. Do you ever thank God for the measure of health that you do have rather than just complaining about what you don't have? Do you thank God for having a warm place to sleep at night so that you're not out in the cold? Do you thank Him for having food to eat? Do you thank Him for clothes to wear, or air to breathe, or water to drink? Hey, number one, remember the provision of the Lord. Let's not forget to remember what the Lord has given us. Let's not forget to remember the blessings of the Lord and the provisions of the Lord in our life. Remember the provision of the Lord. Secondly, remember that God has given you His Word. Remember that God has given you His Word. I see a reminder of that back in verse 3. Back in verse 3, and it says, He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. Listen, God helped them to live by manna there in the wilderness, sent down the manna from heaven. But it really was going to be symbolic in picture too, how man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thank God He's given you His Word this morning. You're here today and you live in a free country and you if you want to, you can own a Bible, you can own more than one Bible. You can put the Bible on the dash of your car and you can have it there and not have it be worried. Oh, some police might see it and try to take it away from me. You know, there are some places where people would not be allowed to have the Bible. Thank God you live in a place where you can have the Word of God, you can open the Bible, you can read the Bible, you don't have to keep it in hiding lest some police or militia or somebody might try to take it away from you. Thank God that you have the Bible and you can read the Bible, you can study the Bible, you can do with it as you will. Do you ever stop and just thank God for the Bible? Thank God for His Word that He's given you. Do you ever thank God for giving you His Word? Do you thank God that He's written a book for us? A book here that is full of 66 smaller books or 66 love letters from God that help to describe for us how much God loves for us and what is God's plan for us and what is God's purpose for us and even shows us some of the things about the future and so on. Hey, do you ever just thank God for His love letter that He's given us? This book we call the Bible. We should remember to give thanks to God for His Word. Remember that God has given you His Word. Thank God for giving you His Word. Thank God that you have the Bible this morning. Let's remember the provision of the Lord. Let's remember that God has given us His Word and let's thank Him for it. Number three, let's remember the commandments of the Lord. Look with me at verse number 11, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. Number three is we should remember the commandments of the Lord. Remember the commandments of the Lord. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. How do we know? What's a sign? What's an indicator? How do we know when an individual or a nation has forgotten the Lord? The answer is when they're no longer heeding his commandments. That verse makes that clear. We are not remembering the Lord when we're not following his commandments. We're forgetting the Lord. We're neglecting the Lord. We're not remembering the Lord like we should when we stop obeying his commandments, when we stop following and heeding his commandments. Moses spoke here of the commandments of the Lord. Of course, we know the Ten Commandments were important to the Jews. But listen, all of God's commandments are important to be obeyed and followed. And all of God's commands are still important for us today to obey and follow. It's important that we not forget the commands of the Lord in our lives. We can think about the words of Jesus Christ in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. John 10:27. My sheep, who are my sheep? Well, those that have gotten saved, those that have entered in through the door, those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. We are God's sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're his people. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they what? They follow me. Are we following Jesus? Are we following Jesus? Are we following Jesus? Are we keeping his commands? In John chapter 14 and verse 15 it says, the words of Jesus, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Are we keeping his commands? If we're following Jesus, we ought to be keeping his commands. If we're remembering God, if we're remembering the Lord like we should, then we will follow and keep his commandments. Sometimes the nation of Israel, they disobeyed God's commands. Sometimes they forgot God. Isn't that tragic? I mean, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jewish people, sometimes they would just forget God. They would just forget God and they'd not obey his commands and they'd go off and follow other nations and follow other gods. They forgot their God. They forgot all that God had done for them. And so they stopped obeying his commandments. Very sadly, again, our own nation has also disregarded many of God's clearest commands. We live in a day and age where many people don't believe in the sanctity of life. People selfishly believe that they can do whatever they want, even if that means taking the life of a little baby growing in the womb of a mother. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God said this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Exodus 20 and verse 13, God said, thou shalt not kill. There was a professor in a medical school that once brought this question to his students. He brought to them an ethical problem, a medical situation, and asked them what they would do about it. He said this, here's the family history. The father has syphilis. The mother has tuberculosis. They already have had four children, and the first child is blind, and the second child died, and the third child is deaf, and the fourth child also has tuberculosis. And now the mother is pregnant again. And the parents come to you to ask you for advice. They're willing to have an abortion if you decide that they should. What do you say to them? The students got together and they gave their various opinions, and then the professor asked them to break into some groups and try to consult about it and try to decide what they would say, what they'd recommend. And all the groups came back and reported that they would recommend to the parents that they just have an abortion. The professor said, congratulations, you just took the life of Beethoven. Beethoven was one of the great musicians in history. Listen, it's never our right to decide that we will take life. That we will take life. Life is precious. Life is precious. Sadly, we live in a nation that has forgotten God, ignored the Bible, ignored what God says, and is not following what our Lord teaches. We need to remember the commands of the Lord. We need to study his word. We need to learn what it teaches. We need to learn what is morally right and what is morally wrong. Sadly, we live in a world that has rejected God's ways and tries to tell us that there are no absolutes. There's no absolutes. That right and wrong is just based on your own personal feelings. Right and wrong is just based on whatever you think or whatever is good for you. Well, what's good for you? Well, that's right for you. But that's not true. What is right and what is wrong is based on what God says is right and wrong. And there are some things that God is abundantly clear on. We're to remember God's commands. We're to obey what He has taught us to do. We also need to remember to not only obey God's commands for ourselves and study God's word for ourselves, but remember to teach God's statutes and commands in our homes. Teach our children what God says. Teach our children what the Word of God says. If there are things that the Word of God is abundantly clear on, that morally this is right or morally this is wrong, we should teach those things to our children. Listen, our kids in the public schools are being really taught not to believe what the Bible says. They are being taught things that are contrary to what God says. The world is trying to teach that the Scriptures are very narrow-minded, the Bible's very bigoted, and so on. That's all a bunch of hogwash and so on. Listen, the world may be trying to push it aside and push God aside, but the world is running hard and fast away from God. And we can't listen to the world. We can't just let our children believe what the world tells them. We need to teach them what God says is right and wrong. The world doesn't want to submit to God's authority. The world wants to live in sin. The world wants to live in wickedness. The world wants to live in selfishness and to go our own way rather than God's way. The world is not evolving for the better. Boy, if evolution was true, this world should be getting better. People should be getting better. We're not becoming a better species of people. We're becoming a more corrupt species of people. We're not becoming better to our fellow man. We're becoming worse to our fellow man. All of society is just headed the wrong direction. Turn back maybe a page or so, page or two, and look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The world is not evolving for the better with all of man's supposed forward thinking, modernistic thinking. We must remember the commands of the Lord, and we must teach them to our children, teach them to the generations to come. Notice what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you. That ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, thy grandchildren, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one God, one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Parents, this is to you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Parents, this is to you. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You're going to need to love God. You're going to need to put God's word in your heart. You're going to need to obey God's word. And then here's what verse 7 teaches us, parents, adults, to do to the next generation, help the next generation. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You may have to have some specific times planned for doing devotions with your family and just teaching them the Bible. And as you go through the Bible, teach them things that are right and wrong and teach them what God says. But not just some planned teaching times, but just kind of sporadic teaching times as it happens at times. As you see things in society, as you see young people doing wrong out on the street corner or something. You know, I sometimes have tried to talk to some of my children about some things if I've been someplace or seen something. You know, that's not going to be the kind of young people you want to be. That's not going to, the things that they're doing are wrong, the things you see them out there doing. And try to teach them why things are right, why things are wrong. Teach them what the Bible says. We've got a responsibility, and oh, it's important. Listen, we've got to remember God and remember God's word and remember God's commands and not neglect to teach it to our children. Because as we live in a world that is fast rushing away from God, how are they going to know the truth if we don't teach them? The world is not remembering God. The world is forgetting God. The world is just disregarding the Bible. We're going to have to remember it and remember God's commands and remember what God teaches and teach it to our children as well. We need homes that model a genuine love for God and obedience to His Word.
In Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Again, Psalm 9 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Listen, I would far rather be a nation that's blessed, and I know we're in big trouble today. We're in big trouble. The only hope is for God's people to live as we should. Pray for revival, live right. We're in big trouble. But let me tell you something, despite a nation that's forgetting God, despite all those that are forgetting God, you don't have to forget God. You can remember God. You can remember what He's done. You can remember who He is. You can remember His commands. You can obey them. Remember the provision of the Lord and be thankful for all that He's done for you. Remember that God has given you His Word. Give thanks for it. Give thanks for His Word, but then pick it up and read it and study it and hide it in your heart. Meditate on it. Obey this book. Thirdly, remember the commands of the Lord. Obey them. Teach them to your children. And fourthly, remember the blessing of the Lord. Remember the blessing of the Lord. Notice back in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want you to see something there, beginning in verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Remember the blessing of the Lord. Remember the blessings of the Lord. Beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. It says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full... I mean, God's been so good for you. He's done so much for you. You've eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Got a nice house. You got food to eat. You got a good job. Got lots of things. I met a guy last night and shoveled his driveway. And this guy had six cars in his driveway last night. In his garage, he's a two-car garage, but he has three cars in it. Figure that. He's got himself a special hoist. You know you got too much money when you got a hoist in your personal garage. And up on top of it, he has a Maserati. The floor of his garage, I would eat off of his floor. It was so nice. He's got a Maserati up here, Lamborghini down here, Aston Martin over here, and then just the toy cars to play with in the winter were a couple, Mercedes-Benz and Porsches and all this. And I don't think that's all his cars either. And he owns the house next door. And anyways, you know what? If I can be truthful with you, this man wasn't a very happy man. He's really not happy. He's full. He's got nice houses. He's got nice cars. He found some cash to pay me for shoveling the snow and said, this is your lucky day. I said, no, I'm slugging away working for this. You give me one of your cars, that'd be my lucky day. But anyways, listen, we can be so full of things. We can have so much and yet forget God. And he's forgotten God. And truthfully, just from our conversation things and spend some time talking, he's not a very happy man. We must not neglect God or forget God. It talks here how we can eat, be full, we can have good houses, and we can have herds and flocks that are multiplying, we can have silver and gold that's multiplying. But what can happen? Verse 14, thine heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Oh, let's not forget the blessings of the Lord. Moses says to the children of Israel, don't forget him. Verse 16, he fed thee in the wilderness with manna. Verse 17, notice that. Now say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this well. Sometimes people have so much forgotten God that they totally leave God out of the equation. These are my houses and my cars and my money and I worked for all this. None of us is totally self-made. Even the man who has forgotten God and neglected God, God is his creator. And no matter how he got his money, it's God that gave him that brain, whether he works a good job or he has to, be a real smart guy. I don't know. But it's God who gave him his brain. It's God who gave him his health. It's God who's given us everything. And we can be sometimes so lifted up in our pride that we think, it's me and this is what I've attained because I'm so wonderful. Everything we have is from God. The ability you had to work was from God. Your health was from God. Your mind was given to you by God. Your hands were given to you by God. It's all from Him. Let's not neglect. Let's not forget. Let's remember the blessing of the Lord. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Sometimes the blessings of God cause us to be puffed up with pride. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Exodus 13 and verse 3 says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. Hey, don't forget what the Lord has done. Don't forget that it's God has given you everything. Don't forget Israel. Don't forget, O nation, that it was God that brought you out of bondage. You'd still be slaves today down in Egypt if it wasn't God who brought you out. And it's God that's going to take you into the promised land. Don't forget the blessings of the Lord. Let us remember the gifts of the Lord. One morning, a very devout Christian was asked how he was feeling. He said, oh, I'm very burdened this morning. But his happy face and happy expression kind of contradicted his words. I'm burdened this morning. And so the questioner exclaimed in surprise, are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman? Oh, yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude. Seeing the puzzled look on the face of his friend, Chapman added with a smile, I'm referring to Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And these words describe why he was burdened down, but he was weighed down with blessings of the Lord. He was burdened down, hey, with the benefits of God, with the blessings of God in his life. Do we remember the blessings of the Lord? Do we thank God for them? In Psalm 103 and verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's not forget the goodness of the Lord. Let's remember the blessings of the Lord. Remember the blessings of the Lord. Remember that the blessings come because of his greatness and power. The blessings don't come because you're so great and you're so wonderful. That's why you're blessed. No, the blessings come because he's so great. And because he's so good. And he's so wonderful. Number 5, I want you to remember that we've been blessed to be a blessing. Remember that we've been blessed to be a blessing. Look at verse 18. Remember that we've been blessed to be a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God's purpose was to honor the promise that he had made. We've been blessed for a purpose. We've been blessed for a purpose. In Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, the Bible says this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, who became Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Notice what God said. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And then the next words, and thou shalt be a blessing. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless thee. I'm going to make you great. You're going to be most blessed of all nations in the earth. But there's a purpose why I'm blessing you. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make you a blessing. It says in the next verse, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We're blessed in order that we might further honor the Lord. We should take the blessings of the Lord with a grateful heart and use those blessings to be a blessing to the Lord in his work. As God prospers you and me, do we just keep those blessings for ourselves? Do you keep the blessing of salvation to yourself? Hey, the good news that you heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves, have you just kept that blessing to yourself? Or can you share that good news with others that they can be saved too? As God has blessed you with physical things or material things, maybe God has blessed you with wealth or the power to get wealth or to earn wealth. Hey, are you just going to lay that up in store for you? Or will we use it to be a blessing to others? Will we use it to be a blessing?
Do we use those blessings to bless and help the poor and needy? Do we use those blessings to help the orphans and the widows that have no family members to help them? Do we use the blessings that we have for the furtherance of the gospel? Do we use the blessings that we've been blessed with to help send out missionaries around the world so that others can come to know God and know our Savior Jesus Christ? Listen, we've always been blessed to be a blessing. God has always blessed His people, not just so that we can get fat, not just so that we can store it up, but so that we can be a conduit of God's blessings. It's supposed to flow through us. We've been blessed that we might bless others. Remember that we've been blessed to be a blessing. I said, number one, remember the provision of the Lord. I want you to remember the provision of the Lord in your life. He's provided you with a Savior. He provided His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. Oh, He's provided you with air to breathe and water to drink and food to eat and a warm place to stay last night. He's provided you with clothing and shelter and maybe some winter boots, maybe a winter coat. He's provided you with good things. He provided you probably with a job or some money, and He's taken care of you. Remember the provision of the Lord and be thankful for all that He's done for you. I said number two, remember that God has given you His Word. Boy, give thanks that you have His Word. Give thanks that you live in a land of freedom. Give thanks that you don't have to hide your Bible. You can open it up. You could even open it up in your workplace. There may even be some that wouldn't like it or what's he reading. But you know what? When you have the freedom, you could open it up even in your workplace on your lunch break and you could read some verses from the Scriptures. And we have the Word of God to us that tells us of God's love. Remember, God has given you His Word. Be thankful for it and take advantage of it. Use it. Number three, remember the commandments of the Lord. Boy, a nation is in trouble and Christians are in trouble. We're forgetting the Lord when we stop obeying His commands. We need to obey His commands and teach them to our children. Fourthly, I said, remember the blessings of the Lord. Don't be lifted up in pride. Be humble to recognize that all that we have is a gift from God. Number five, remember that we've been blessed to be a blessing. And use the blessings that the Lord has given you to be a blessing to the world. And number six, the last thing very quickly is remember the promises of the Lord. Just in the last verses of that chapter, Deuteronomy 8, 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 8, 19 and 20, it says, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish. Because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." You know, God has promised judgment for those that don't want to remember Him. God has promised judgment and chastening for those that don't want to remember Him, don't want to obey Him. Those that forget His Word. Those that forget His commandments. Those that disregard the Lord. Those that aren't thankful for the blessings and provision of the Lord. But you know what? He's also promised blessing for those that love Him and obey Him. Deuteronomy talks about how I set before you a choice, blessing and cursing. Obey or disobey. Which do you want? God gives promises to both the obedient and the disobedient. I'd rather have the promises to the obedient, wouldn't you? I don't want the promises of the disobedient to be upon me. I want the promises to the obedient. God will bless those nations and those Christians that honor Him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He has chosen for His inheritance. The only hope for our nation is Christians that will honor and obey God. Christians that will remember and obey His Word and His commands. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, "If my people which are called by my name," God's people. The hope for a nation is going to be God's people. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Christians need to get the focus off of ourselves and back upon the Lord. You know what? Our focus as Christians shouldn't be on ourselves and in this year, what am I going to accomplish? And how much am I going to accumulate? And what kind of a success am I going to be? For me,
We need to keep our focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Don't be lifted up in pride where we forget the Lord. Let's remember Him. If you're without Christ as Savior in your life, you need to come to Him, look to Him for salvation. Listen, God will always honor those who honor Him. God will always honor those who honor Him. What promise do you want? A promise to the obedient or a promise to the disobedient? Boy, I'd want the promise that God's going to honor me because I'm honoring Him. I would want the promises of the obedient, that I'll have His blessings. Remember the promise of the Lord. Remember the promise of the Lord. Let's pray together.